This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junkyard Dogcast, everybody. I'm Jake Rowe, Dogs 24/7. With me are Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell, also of Dogs 24/7. And news of the day, Georgia has scheduled another game with Clemson. That makes six now in a 12-year span. And the rivalry, the 65th edition of Georgia-Clemson, unless the two teams meet in the 2020 playoff, is going to be in 2021, Bank of America Stadium, Charlotte, North Carolina. Kind of came out of nowhere a little bit, to be honest with you. Georgia's going to pay San Jose State $1.8 million to make this game happen, to cancel that one and to get this one in the fold. And, I mean, that it's huge. I mean, you know, the two teams hadn't played since 2014. It was going to be 2024 before they played again. They're set to play in the Mercedes-Benz in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the Chick-fil-A kickoff. And, once again, Georgia is scheduling another marquee game to fill its schedule, and we're going to cover that. We're going to talk about all of that. We're going to get to some mailbag questions from the Dogs 24/7 Junkyard, and we're going to get to a little bit of recruiting here at the end of the show. But before, I guess, we do that, you know, we hadn't been with you guys since last week, and let's check in with the guys. Rusty, how's it going with you, man?
Waterlogged. I mean, I am tired. I mean, this is ridiculous. I've lived in this house 6 years, I think, and never had flooding issues. Like, my backyard is flooded. I mean, luckily, it's draining, I guess, the way it's supposed to, away from the house. But there's literally a small creek in my backyard right now, and they're not calling for anything to stop. So I'm Uncle Mercy, sorry, whatever I need to say to stop this for a while. I've had enough.
Dude, I got weeds in my front, and I usually keep my front yard pretty pristine. Like, I work hard on it, and I've got weeds in my front yard and can't do anything about it. Can't do anything about mowing it down or spraying it because it won't stop raining long enough. So I'm feeling you on that. I don't even want to think. I don't think I've looked in my backyard for a couple weeks because I'm just afraid of what it's going to look like back there. Kip, you waterlogged too, man?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty kind of built for this as far as just, you know, kind of being stuck in the house. The weather outside just looks awful. I don't need any, you know, I don't need any help staying inside, but it's doing all it can. I look out that window and it, you know, it looks dark. It's 1 p.m. So, you know, again, it's helping me catch up on these TV shows. We got this TV show thread on the Junkyard. We're on page 22. Welcome everyone to join in on the TV show thread on the Junkyard on Dogs 24/7. But, you know, it's helped me make a little bit of, you know, make a little dent in my show list there. Watching the new season of Narcos Mexico, it was outstanding. I would imagine they're going to get another season. It's going great and really enjoyed that. Final season of Vikings. So watching that, not really the same without Ragnar in it, but, you know, still watching it, holding it down until the very end. And, you know, just catching up with these potential NCAA changes. I think, you know, you look at the potential changes in the immediate transfer, you know, getting, not needing a waiver and potentially getting a one-time transfer. I mean, Rusty and I have talked about this so many times. At this point, We can't really have the initial, you know, the initial counter limit anymore. This is going to happen. Schools could lose double digit, you know, guys out the door to the immediate transfer now and not have a way to replace those guys on the roster. You know, if you're stuck with a 25 initial counter limit and you lose 10 guys and you just signed 20, you know, what are you going to do? You're kind of stuck there. So, I mean, obviously, if they're going to let players leave whenever they want to, you know, fair. You know, if they need another opportunity and need another place to go, it's fine. But coaches need to have a way to replenish that roster in the best way possible. To have 85 is close to 85 on scholarship. And I just think that, you know, if you're going to do that, maybe don't count transfers as initial counters anymore. You know, that's one way of at least helping alleviate that. You know, if a school can bring in guys and at least, you know, cover for what they just lost, then that would help this. Maybe if you have, as many guys as you lose, that's how many you can bring in. That's still progress as far as where things are right now. Coaches are kicking the can forward, trying to make up for lost transfers, and it's making it more and more difficult to really sign and have 85 on scholarship, especially over a 3- and 4-year period. So I just think that's really interesting if they do pass that NCAA, bylaw update. I think it would have obviously a huge effect on everything. They need to think about that and maybe plan ahead and try to give programs a chance to be able to replenish these guys, because we've seen it the last 3 cycles, this transfer portal. I mean, guys are leaving left and right. I mean, we saw Penn State losing, well into double digits in the transfer portal the 1 year. And, you can't just bring in 20 high school players and then lose, 15, 20 second and third year players and be competitive in your conference. So I just think it's something they need to look into. And it's something that's really caught my eye today, other than obviously the big news with Georgia's scheduling. That was kind of the biggest, news of the week and maybe the month for me.
We actually didn't even plan, and I'm glad you brought it up, to talk about the whole transfer thing. But what strikes me about that whole thing, guys, is the fact that there aren't very many different ways to look at this, okay? If you support it, and I do, because I think an athletic director kind of made a comment about this, if you're going to give coaches the ability to move on when they want, I think players should at least get one freebie. But The only issue is, the biggest issue with it is the fact that what Kent was bringing up as the initial counter thing, that should be open and shut. It should be absolutely open and shut as far as like a solution to that. And I don't know what your thoughts on it, Rusty. I like the idea of for every guy you lose via transfer, you get that spot back via transfer. And that's the only way I think you can do it if you're going to count – transfers. If you're going to, every time you bring in a transfer, it counts as an initial counter, then, you should, if we say it all the time on the Junkyard, but if the transfer portal is going to giveth, it's going to also taketh away. And I think that the NCAA should allow for that. And I fully expect, Rusty, and you know this too, man, 14 SEC coaches, SEC spring meetings, fists on the podium. Those guys are going to pound the podium for changes as far as that goes. Last year, they were kind of like, we'll see how it works out. This year, they're going to have their mind made up.
Yeah. I could spend the rest of the time on this transfer thing. And I don't know enough about everything, the rules yet. I know the freebie, and I certainly think there should be an out. Now, if you sign, let's just take for example, and I fully understand why Mel Tucker, I've spoken my piece on that, why he went to Michigan State. I mean, this man is no longer flying on charter planes, on commercial planes to recruit. He doubled his salary. His coaching pool salary is doubled. He opened up a whole new world of resources, which I fully understand that. I would have done it and never thought twice about it. Now, the kids he just signed ought to have an out. They ought to be able to either leave or say, hey, I want to open up my recruitment for 2 weeks, see what's out there, and that type of thing. Because they came to play for Mel Tucker, the majority of those kids, and he left. So I worry about this. If you open this thing up, these – Kip knows this as well as I do. This last class that just signed, this 2020 class, is the first class that I really consider that got recruited for 4 years. I mean, these kids were taking visits as freshmen, not just a couple of cute visits. Like, they were getting quote-unquote offers and those types of things. These kids are expecting to play. And then when they don't, how are they going to react? I talked to so many coaches, and the who handles the D recruitment? Who can handle D recruitment and not pout up? Listen, I can't mention names, but I'm telling you right now, the transfer portal, it takes, I think if I'm correct, Kip, it takes you like, if a kid goes in, just say he goes in on a Friday or a Thursday, it takes 24 to 48 hours for his name to show up. If that's correct, I believe.
That's correct.
Yeah. I talked to a lot of SEC coaches. There's a lot of kids that go in the portals on Monday because they're pissed off they didn't play on Saturday. And they go and cool down and they talk and they're back out of the portal on Tuesday. So you never know. It's never out there yet. There's so much going on with this. It worries me about a lot. I know they've got to do something. I don't have the answer. I thought about that drive at home today. And I thought about this. What if we open this thing up, but it has to be after your sophomore season? You spent 2 years out of school for whatever reason. You're either A, not starting, B, it ain't working out, C, you too far from home, whatever. Maybe after two seasons you get a free pass. Instead of being a graduate, you get a free move. That would, for me, be able to tell a coaching staff, hey, we at least got this kid for 2 years. Let's coach and develop him. If it doesn't work and he leaves, that's fine. Well, you know, that's part of it. But this being able to go at any time, man, I worry about the college football game that I love and the reason I follow it so much more than NFL. I've had some good friends play in the NFL. It's such a business. I love watching NFL, especially in the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. That is the highest level, and those guys get after it. But college football is sudden death pretty much every week. I just worry what this will do. If I'm the lower G5 schools, I'm scared to death. Because I'm telling you, if you got a really good left tackle, let's take, for example, Louisiana Tech. I don't even know the kid's name. I saw a breakdown from an NFL scout last night on Twitter. I just happened to watch this nickel corner safety at Louisiana Tech. Dude's a baller. Probably a second-round draft pick. Do you not think that somebody's not going to try to get him, one of these bigger schools, Alabama, you know, Tennessee, Georgia, somebody's not going to get one of those kids, say, hey, you can come play here? It just worries me about the overall how this thing could go. But I'm telling you that thing will forever change college football. They got to do something. I agree. I don't have the answer, though.
And not only that, but you know, when you know, the initial counter thing is one thing, but when you start talking about the recruitment of these guys, the back channeling, the underbelly of it all, when you don't have to be a graduate anymore to transfer and you get the one freebie, I mean, man, there are going to be tentacles and hands and fingers and feelers and all that kind of stuff all over the place for these kids. You're talking to a second cousin twice removed and all that. I mean, I love the idea of making a guy wait maybe until after his sophomore year. I like the idea of maybe putting an age restriction on it too, maybe after your sophomore year or after you turn 20 years old. Or something like that. I mean, hell, I mean, you know, people want to compare this thing to coaches all the time, and I understand that. I get the crux of that issue, but here's the issue. I mean, you pay a fine or you pay a premium to rent a car if you're under 25 years old. You can't drink alcohol until you're 21 years old. There are some things that you can do later in life that you can't do when you're as young as some of these guys are, because it takes a level of maturity and decision-making to do those things. And, you know, I do like the idea of maybe putting an age limit plus a sophomore requirement, year two on campus, something like that. But it's got the potential to open a can of worms and be very significant. I'm interested to see how it plays out.
It's already significant. I mean, you look at the transfer portal on our website. There's 94 quarterbacks that have entered the transfer portal this offseason on our website. Just quarterbacks, 94. I mean, that's incredible. Now, I mean, I just got dizzy trying to count them all right now, scrolling up. I can't say that all of them are or Power 5 or FBS, but if we're tracking it and we got these guys in here, I mean, they're playing at a high level somewhere, and they were. They signed somewhere that we can track in our system. And that's just one position. Obviously, quarterback is the main position that the transfer portal really opened up with. But if that's just – if we're breaking 100 almost with one position, I mean, there's got to be – you know, probably 500 kids in the transfer portal right now, and it's February. I mean, we're going to have spring football. Guys are going to figure out where they're at in the depth chart for real for this upcoming season, and they're going to hit the portal after spring football is over as well. So, yep. I mean, these numbers are going to really grow exponentially. And so if they're looking at potentially making this immediate eligibility, I assume they're going to have a deadline for that, because I couldn't even imagine the can of worms they opened up if you were able to, you know, leave during the season and not lose eligibility. I mean, obviously, I think it's going to have to be something where by sure. the end of summer, before summer camp starts, just yep. like where you have to have 85 on scholarship. I think that's probably when you have to have your, you know, your transfer done and everything. But still, we're talking about roster changing late in the process where schools have no way, you know, to really rebound over that. If it's a depth chart thing, a guy that's down on the depth chart, it's one thing. But again, going into camp, these coaches want over 80 guys on scholarship, you know, whenever possible. And this is going to make it where schools are rolling in the mid 60s, because they're gonna lose guys left and right to, you know, the teams that maybe either have thinner depth charts or maybe are more competitive and give them a chance to, you know, play for a championship. Even though they might not even be starting, they might be in the two deep. So, I mean, immediate eligibility is just an incredible, incredible, you know, season changing aspect for all these programs. And just looking at the sheer numbers and the impact it's had on college football, especially at the quarterback position, we've seen the national championships the last couple of years, where those players have come from originally. It's going to be, you know, probably the biggest change we've seen in a long time if any player is able to leave whenever they want.
Absolutely. And like I said, this was completely something that just kind of popped up for us as far as the podcast goes. And I really, to be honest, maybe it's an indictment of our planning, because it's a huge issue. And, you know, I don't think that teams like Georgia and Alabama are going to be hit as hard by it as like Rusty said, some of those group of five programs. I mean, you're going to see some – I also feel like you're going to have maybe some coaches that kind of step on toes. I mean, you've got a mass exodus at UConn right now. You're going to see more of those types of situations where guys – kind of band together. They're saying, I'm sick of this, and several guys are going to leave all at once, and it's going to cause some problems. And I also get the idea of the other side of it, which is the whole thing that, you know, sometimes these guys are 18, they get frustrated, they want to leave, and it's good for them to kind of stick it out. I think that's a case-by-case basis and not something I'm willing to judge, but I see that side of it as well. Let's take a quick break here. We were gonna try to get to the Clemson-Georgia scheduling 2021 game before the break, but we're going to get to it afterward, and we're going to talk about a couple mailbag questions from the junkyard. But let's pause here for a second.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's petmeds.com and promo code podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Georgia, Clemson, 2012. I'm sorry, 2021. Kip, going to go to you first on this, man. What are your thoughts on this? The renewal of the Clemson-Georgia rivalry way early.
This is great. I mean, this is a 123-year-old rivalry. And honestly, every time we brought it, you know, to the site, which non-conference game would you like to see, you know, Georgia renew again? It was always Clemson. I mean, these two teams are, I mean, you can't not call this a rivalry. I mean, it's just such an outstanding matchup. The programs are both just so close to each other, like 70 miles away. They both have the same recruiting footprint, and Clemson obviously is competing at a level really never seen before. And Kirby Smart has brought Georgia to the precipice. You know, they are right there, you know, close to the mountaintop, pushing for that top spot that Dabo Swinney has brought Clemson. So for the fans, I mean, it doesn't get much better than this. I mean, this is going to be an outstanding matchup and really just a game where we're looking at transitioning rosters, you know, at the quarterback position. Obviously, Clemson's going to be, you know, replacing Trevor Lawrence, and Georgia will most likely have a new starting quarterback, assuming Jamie Newman starts this season. And so there's a lot of intrigue with this matchup, and I really dislike looking at how the rosters are going to be shaped, you know, in 2021. I think, you know, is Zamir White, if he's the bell cow this year, if he breaks 1,000 yards, does he come back, you know, for another season having, you know, two major knee injuries? Does James Cook stay for a fourth year? Is he the guy that kind of steps into that role? Because when we've seen, the last time these guys played, obviously Todd Gurley played a major, you know, role in that series the last time, you know, Georgia and Clemson played. So the running back position is obviously going to be highlighted again in this series. Travis Etienne, obviously, not going to be on Clemson's roster in 2021. So both teams, you know, very well could be breaking in new starting running backs and starting quarterbacks. So, I mean, that's really intriguing to me. And one thing that really catches my eye is the possibility that Georgia, they might have, you know, better wide receivers on the field in this game than Clemson. And Clemson, I mean, the wide receivers that they've had the last 5 to 10 years, a few programs can you know, really have the same level of names that Clemson's had out there. And I think they're probably going to have some new names, you know, guys that haven't really had a lot of production in the past as well. And I think Georgia, I mean, that might be this, you know, the real strength of the team going into 2021 with the class they just brought in, you know, along with George Pickens and Dominic Blaylock, obviously. I think it's just really intriguing how different these offenses might look next season. And with it being the first game and two teams that are going to have national championship hopes every season moving forward, it's incredible that this matchup is going to happen, and we don't have to talk about the 2029 and 2030 matchups that are a decade away.
Rusty, what's your thoughts on this type of scheduling and getting Clemson back on the schedule? Good. I mean, do you like it? Is it good for Georgia? Is it foolish? How do you look at it?
It's all about recruiting. I mean, Kirby Smart is saying that we're going to stay on the forefront, the main page. I mean, what news dominated college football today nationwide? This, Georgia Clemson on a, you know, Tuesday afternoon, middle of February, it was a topic of discussion. This game is about opening the buzz, the recruiting you'll be able to sell for you know, the 2021 class. And not only that, but just saying, listen, we're going to play in big games at Georgia. We're going to play in national games. We're going to play in them all season. We're going to open. We're going to go here, go there. We're going to play this team, play that team. Kirby Smart and Georgia, whoever is involved making these games, are banking on a couple of things, but they're definitely banking on strength of schedule is going to be very important. They would never say this publicly, but the way they're scheduling out in these games to go along with the SEC schedule they're going to have, I believe, and I'm going to be real careful with this, Rusty Mansell is saying he believes Georgia thinks this thing is going to expand to 8 teams at some point. And strength of schedule is going to be massive. What happens in 2026? Let's just say 2026. This thing goes to 8 teams. If you're not ahead of the game and you haven't scheduled these games, it's too late. It's going to be too late. Georgia basically paid, like you said, paid $2 million to get out of a San Jose State game. Not everybody can do that. So, you know, the strength of schedule down the line, I think, is important. I think for a recruiting standpoint, Georgia-Clemson marquee game. Jake, you cover the team. What is going to dominate the discussions from May, June, July, and August among Georgia fans of that of 2021?
Oh yeah, it's always the season opener, it's going to be huge, and it's going to be like I said, it's going to be the first time these teams have played in like 7 years, yeah. And it's going to be the 65th meeting between the two teams, as long as they don't end up playing each other in the playoff this year. There's going to be all sorts of excitement around this game. Going to Charlotte, playing in the Panther Stadium. It's massive, man. And I wouldn't put it past these two coaches to find some way to, you know, get recruits tickets to this game, even though they won't be able to host them. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that can go on for this stuff. I'm definitely on the same page as you when it comes to the exposure aspect of it. And I'm not even sure strength of schedule, college football playoff expansion, with how quickly these things are happening, especially a game like this. I mean, at the end of the day, win your games. Folks talk about all the time, you can't get into the playoff, or you haven't been able to get into the playoff with two losses. I'm sorry. Auburn was going to do it in 2017 if Georgia didn't beat them in the SEC championship game. The opportunities have been there to make that happen if the right people do it. It's just a matter of getting it done. And if you play a schedule like Georgia's, you give yourself a fighter's chance if you do lose two games.
Yep. I just think, and Kip, you may touch on this, I think that Georgia – it's forecasting that strength of schedule is going to be important. And when you look, if it does go to 8 teams, all three of us know what's going to happen. There's going to be a minimum of 2 SEC schools every year. Minimum. Possibly 3 if something goes right. But strength of schedule, I think, in my opinion, is what Georgia's looking at. But this game is different because of the proximity of the two schools. They recruit against each other. Hell, it's time for them two to play. Let's just be honest.
And really, you look at, Jake touched on it. I mean, this game is going to be played in Charlotte. And this last season, what did we see Georgia do? You know, they went on the road up to Nashville. We saw them take the town over. And when they played at Notre Dame, I mean, what did they do up there? And now, I mean, do you think that Georgia fans are already looking at the hotels for Charlotte? The prices have already skyrocketed for that weekend. And, you know, they're already making plans for that trip. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere. I'm interested to see, you know, just how the fan bases fill that, you know, the Carolina Panthers stadium up. And you mentioned recruiting. You think Dale McGee and Kirby are going to be bringing up this game to Will Shipley, to Evan Pryor? You think they've brought it up to Evan Pryor, you know, about the opportunity to play next year, you know, in your home state? I think game one class. I think that's probably going to be a pretty heavy pitch from that coaching staff. They probably have already talked to both of them today about it. I mean, obviously, the state of North Carolina, Georgia running backs, there's a history there. Georgia's done pretty well there, you know, in recent years. And we already know that they have two tailbacks in that 2021 class, again, in Will Shipley and Evan Pryor, that Georgia thinks very highly of. They like them both a lot. And Dale McGee wants to take two running backs this year. So, you know, the chance to get one of those guys is probably pretty high up on the board. This gives them an extra boost in recruiting. Recruiting against programs like Notre Dame, against with Will Shipley, with Evan Pryor, you got Ohio State, you got Penn State. He's probably going to leave the state to play. Do Ohio State, Penn State, are those programs planning on playing a lot of games in North Carolina? That's something that Georgia can hold over them now. And obviously, Dell wants any edge he can to try to get two elite guys. Like we said, this running back position could be in a little bit of flux going into 2021. There's an opportunity there for a freshman to come in and potentially make an impact. So I just think just looking just at that position, it's going to be huge. And obviously, there's going to be other prospects that emerge in the state of North Carolina for this class. For this 2021 class, it's still very early, and there's guys Georgia's going to be recruiting. Trey Scott, has a defensive line coach at Georgia, has ties there. He's going to be going back there in the spring during the evaluation period and selling that to every kid he has high on his board, new kids that emerge in the spring. So I think as Rusty hit the nail on the head as far as recruiting is concerned, this matchup is huge. For not just for the state of North Carolina, obviously, but it definitely gives a boost to them trying to pluck the elite guys from that state moving forward.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, obviously, Kip, you touched on, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Jamie Newman, probably, you know, almost certainly not going to be at Clemson. Jamie Newman not going to be at Georgia. Travis Etienne.
I guarantee you Trevor Lawrence is not going to be at Clemson.
Yeah, right.
Breaking news.
Yes. Yeah. You can quote me on that.
You heard it from Rusty first. But, you know, and then obviously, you know, Georgia may or may not have Zamir White, but I tell you what is going to be on the field, and that's defensive lineman galore. I mean, you're talking Trayvon Walker, Jalen Carter, Brian Breezy, I'm not sure how to pronounce the name, Breezy, however you pronounce it, Miles Murphy. I mean, there is going to be so much talent in the trenches. Really on both sides of the ball, because both of these teams have recruited so well of late. It's going to be a fun game to watch. Let's make sure we get to a couple of these mailbag questions, and there were two that kind of stuck out to me. Let's start with the assistant coach hire. I believe our guy Sheetrock U over at Dawgs 24/7. I may have the name wrong on that, but somebody can double check me. But I believe we were told to make something up regarding the 10th assistant coach hire. Rusty, want to throw it to you, man. What are you hearing regarding that? Anything new?
Nothing new, but I do think there has been some interviews in the last week or two with some people. And I've made this statement on the board. The longer this goes on, I really believe that Buster Faulkner is starting to be that guy, I think. How all that will play out. You know, I know he's a quarterback guy. I know Buster Faulkner's a quarterback guy. Obviously, was offensive coordinator at Southern Miss last year, had a very good year with Southern Miss calling plays. So, you know, we talked about how they could divvy up special teams, that type of deal. But I personally think the longer this goes on, it would not surprise me to see Buster Faulkner be that guy. I think that Buster Faulkner came to Georgia to strengthen his resume with the understanding he was going to be an off-the-field guy. Well, all of a sudden, there was a position opened up when Scott Fountain left. So, to go to Arkansas, so on the offensive side of the ball. So, I'm, you know, anything could happen, but just asking me on February the 18th, starting to lean more that Buster Faulkner would be a guy, and that's another guy that has recruited the state of Georgia, too. So, you know, we haven't talked about that. Maybe we need to bring that up on the next podcast. I'll try to fill around, see what we hear, how Georgia's going to divvy up some areas, specifically state of Florida, because Scott Fountain and James Coley were flat out killers in that state. I mean, they went and got some dudes the last couple of classes, especially Scott Fountain this class. So Jalen Carter and Arian Smith were his guys, lead recruiters. So, you know, with those guys, I'm starting to lean that Buster Faulkner is going to be that 10th guy. I mean, that's not a bad hire. That's where I'm leaning.
Gotcha. And we had another question on there, and it was talking about, the question was basically Todd Monken, what is he going to do differently than James Coley? And I'm going to jump on this one because I've kind of been working on some, studying some stuff lately. And I do think that obviously your personnel is going to have a big impact on what they're able to do. I mean, listen, Todd Monken hasn't been a mobile quarterback guru in the past, not a design quarterback guru in the past. I think Jamie Newman brings that element. He's going to have to put it to use. But one thing I have noticed about Todd Monken, and I'm not trying to pump sunshine or I'm not trying to get folks jacked up about anything, okay? But I have been really impressed at his ability to conflict defenses down the field. Like a lot of times you see passing game concepts where you've got like high-low reads where you're basically putting the defense in conflict. They've got to decide whether they want to come up and attack the route in front of them or stay home and make sure they're not getting hit with a route behind them. Well, Monken does such a good job of putting stress on the secondary of a defense with the route combinations, whether it's a post wheel or whether it's a well-designed square in and a post over the top of it. Like, he does such a really good job of like making a safety, you know, 20 yards downfield, make a decision and creating explosive plays with it. Another thing I've noticed about him too is one of the things that he's done a really good job of is he likes to move in, you know, and this is noticing it from the Oklahoma State days, but, and that was a while back, obviously 8-9 years ago, but he really likes to move the quarterback in the pocket on early downs. And that's something you don't see a ton of. Like, you see a lot of teams, you know, like to roll out and throw that stick route on third down, third and six or whatever, third and four. Well, Monken will take that from you on first down if he can get it and basically turn it into extension of the run game. And then obviously this had a lot to do with personnel and Georgia may have a guy that can kind of help him in this area. But the way he used Mike Evans in Tampa Bay was incredible, the way he, you know, found ways to isolate him in one-on-one coverage and go throw jump balls to him and get him the ball down the field and give him chance to those 50-50 balls. I thought he did a really good job of scheming that up as well. I think that in a lot of ways, I think Georgia's going to be more creative pre-snap with motions, and I think they're going to do a better job of like I began with here, with conflicting defenses in the back half and creating explosive plays out of it. Before we close the show up, Rusty, want to throw it to you and Kip real quick for a little quick recruiting corner. You've been on the road a little bit. What have you seen?
Visited with Smile Munden today, Paulding County, as Kip knows, with his young men going to school there in that county. Is on vacation all week. Must be nice to have a winter break. I swear I went to school all these years, and there was no such thing as like winter break and all this stuff these kids get now. Looking at this, I think the Smile is pronounced Smile, as in a smile. Smile Munden, 6'3", 220, at Paulding County, a young man that we are very, very high on. The rankings are not final, but they'll come out on Wednesday for the updated top 247 of the 2021 class. And he is definitely going to be one that is trending up into some elite area. And love his junior tape. Played a lot of running back. I saw him play South Paulding. Dude took a handoff, a jet sweep, 80 yards to the house, 6'3", 220. Not going to say he's, and of course, I say this all the time, I don't like to get in comparisons and I wind up comparing somebody because that's going to be asked, but just seeing him, how he's growing, he's got a lot of that Alec Ogletree frame where he's 6'3", he's already 220 in high school, he runs track, kid doesn't camp. I'll tell you this, if I had to make a crystal ball today, I would say Georgia, but I'm going to tell you, this is nowhere near done. He's going to visit Florida, Oklahoma. He's going to take all five of his officials and probably not going to decide until late after football season next year. So this one's nowhere near being done. I would say if there's a dark horse to watch, probably would be Florida. Christian Robinson's been recruiting him pretty hard. He said he went to Florida and Auburn. And he said that was the best game atmosphere he's been to so far. He said it was crazy. So been in there twice, I think, to Florida. So been to one George game, came to Murray State. He will be back for a game this fall, he said, for sure. So I just think that there's some connections there. He really likes Glenn Schumann, but this thing is not anywhere near over. You're talking about a 6'3", 220 kid that runs 300 high hurdles, runs a 200, 4x1. never been to a camp, probably don't know what he's ranked. And those are refreshing sometimes to cover those, as Kip knows.
Kip, you got some thoughts on this overall linebacker class, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Smile Mondon, outstanding prospect. You stay in the state of Georgia. Barrett Carter at North Gwinnett, another extremely athletic, you know, tackling machine. Drawn some early unfair, but still the comparisons to, you know, Roquan Smith at the same stage, just a similar type player in his athleticism, his ability to kind of, you know, just find the ball and go sideline to sideline. And then you go to Florida, Xavien Sory from Graceville, Florida. We talk about Smile Mondon, you know, that frame that he has, very similar, you know, athleticism and body style with Xavien Sory. It's a very small town, Graceville, Florida. The population is just, 2,200 people there. They haven't had, you know, a major recruit in almost 40 years in Graceville, but he is definitely that. He is a guy that, I mean, just watching him on a film, seeing that athleticism, seeing him, you know, play basketball as well. He's an elite prospect and one that Georgia is absolutely, you know, all over recruiting him as hard as they possibly can, just like they are with Smile Mondon, Barrett Carter, the in-state guys. You look at this linebacker class, you know, specifically inside linebacker. Georgia didn't sign an inside linebacker this past cycle. Obviously, you know, they have two on the field a lot in their defense. It's a pretty important position. That's going to be a huge focus for Georgia's defense this cycle as far as recruiting is concerned. Glenn Schumann is, you know, he's going all in on some elite guys. He's got an opportunity to really replenish that room and really bring in some elite players. It's a special linebacker class in my mind. I think when you look at Xavien, I think Alabama's obviously a team that's heavily involved there. It's probably going to be Georgia's top competition. I think Georgia's in that top two with them, and I think that's going to be one that kind of goes back and forth. He's been to both campuses plenty of times. He's going to be back. They'll both get official visits. Probably Auburn's third if I'm having to handicap it. Georgia, we think Georgia's in a good spot with Barrett Carter. There are plenty of other guys that Glenn Schumann is recruiting in-state, out-of-state as well. But those guys just kind of caught my eye as guys that really have a chance to be special players and that Georgia's really heavily involved with early in this cycle. So those are three guys we're going to be writing a lot about on Dogs 24/7 over the coming weeks and months once this brutal dead period ends.
And Georgia needs them. Didn't sign an inside linebacker in the previous class, as pointed out, and gonna be a big class on that inside and outside linebacker in 2021. And these two guys that I've been talking with on the Dogcast tonight are gonna have it covered for you. And I'll be on the team side of it. Got a lot coming up. Got spring drills coming up. It's going to be on March 17th, and that'll get started, 15 practices. Jamie Newman era begins, all of that stuff. But for this show, that's all we got. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell of Dogs 24/7. And this has been the Junkyard Dogcast. Take it easy, everybody.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.